Intentional Grounding is brought to you by CJ Wilson Mazda and the Zoom Zoom Nation. Let me tell you one thing about CJ Wilson Mazda. They are not your typical dealership. There are no suits, no high-pressure sales, just regular people who treat you like a neighbor. And they have special monthly incentives all month long, which make it a great time to buy or trade. The other thing you should know is that the good people at CJ Wilson Mazda are always trying to make your car shopping fun. You can test drive a CJ Wilson Mazda in Orland Park, Countryside, and Lake Villa, and always online at ZoomZoomNation.com. Let's go.
We'll look at the tape.
It's Intentional Grounding.
I think we got to come out hard and stay hard.
Part of Chicago's best Bears coverage.
I don't know.
Now, here they are.
They're day-to-day in my mind.
WGN Radio's very own Adam Hogue.
I'm violent.
And the Chicago Sun-Times' Adam Johns.
What an a-hole.
Hug it, chug it, football!
All right, welcome in from MetLife Stadium in New Jersey, where the Bears lost today to the New York Giants. Not a surprise. We both thought it was going to happen. I think the story today is the injuries, and some serious ones at that. Adam Hogue, Adam Johns here with you. This is episode 65 of Intentional Grounding, the Patrick Manley episode. It has to be.
Actually, I think Cody Whitehair is doing a good job carrying around or along the proud tradition of number 65. Actually, he's been pretty good as a rookie.
He has, but I think Pat Manley is legendary status within the Chicago Bears organization. We'll see if Cody Whitehair can get there down the road. All right. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Hogue, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S, and the podcast at INT Grounding Pod. You can read all our post-game reaction, WGNradio.com/Bears and SunTimes.com. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. All right, let's dive right in, Adam, because, look, the Bears lose. I think we knew that, but some serious injuries today. Let's start with Zach Miller, actually. Well, actually, let's start with Leonard Floyd, because that was a serious one. And it sounds like Leonard Floyd's going to be okay. He was able to move his extremities, but they did have to put him on the backboard and cart him off to the hospital. Last we knew, we still didn't know if he was going to go home with the team. But then, meanwhile, Zach Miller breaks his foot again.
There is nothing scarier than a neck slash head injury. I mean, those are devastating, life-changing things. Look, I know all injuries can be serious. This is very unfortunate for Zach Miller to have another broken foot. It is the opposite foot of his previous Les Frank injury. So either way, it's terrible for him. Bad luck. He's been an injury-prone player throughout his career. Just a bad break. But for Leonard Floyd, yes, it was a scary moment. You saw the somber attitude that his teammates had. Even the Giants came over to wish him well when he's getting carted off, when he's placed on a backboard, when he's immobilized. It's a scary moment for all football players, because that is the greatest fear of football, that you try to back out, you know, put in the back of your mind and really put away, because one bad break, one tackle or attempted tackle like Leonard Floyd was attempting to make could change your life forever. And here he was trying to tackle Rashad Jennings, ran into a mammoth of a human being in Akeem Hicks. His neck went, he went head first to his side. He buckled backward and went down. Scary moment. It really was.
Also today, Josh Sitton had an ankle injury. His right foot was in a boot after the game. And Cravon LeBlanc, the cornerback, also left with a concussion today. John Fox talked about the injuries, among other things, after the game. Here's the head coach.
Just to update injuries, Zach Miller, right foot, did not return. Cravon LeBlanc, concussions in the protocol. Josh Sitton, right ankle, did not return. Leonard Floyd, right now, neck. He's at the hospital getting further evaluations. We'll keep you posted. Some of his movement, things look good or encouraging, but he's going through the necessary tests. Like I said, we'll keep you updated. And then Christian Jones back. He did return. Any questions?
Do you anticipate Floyd being able to travel with the team, or will he stay?
I don't know that at this time. He's still at the hospital, like I said.
Do you have a sense of how he was handling it, John, when you were out there, and what was going through your mind as that was kind of unfolding?
Well, I think it appeared it was on a tackle. I don't know if he's – I'm sure they're evaluating him for concussion as well. But, you know, anytime they bring the card out and the board out, they've got some neck concerns. He seemed to have pretty good movement skills at that point. But, until they do, different scans and whatnot at the hospital, it's it's hard for me to say. But when that occurs, you know, whether he makes it back on the team flight or not, or he stays here in New Jersey, you know, like I said, we'll keep you updated.
How would you sum up this game?
It's a loss. It's only a win or a loss, and albeit very disappointing. We did have some injuries. We had some guys step in, and did okay, just not quite well enough. But a loss.
What about the challenge? The conditions today, especially the place kicking, seem to be an issue.
I mean, both teams have to deal with it. So it's it's equal. The wind was kind of a crosswind, a little bit of a favor, on our bench from left to right. But all in all, I think it was more of a crosswind. I think probably affects snaps, affects kicks. Affects passes, so anybody that has the ball, it does affect it.
I know you don't like using injuries as an excuse, but it's just hard to wrap your mind around the sheer number of them, and not only today, but this season.
Well, I mean, we just, you get down the depth chart, so to speak, but, it's a resilient group, they're working hard and preparing hard. I think, they were prepared good enough to win the game. We just came up a little short.
Attrition as you've dealt with?
It's up there. It's like I said, I've been doing it for a little bit, so it's hard to remember 27 years ago. But it's up in the top five for sure.
Zach's reaction seemed like he knew right away.
Yeah, he has a similar injury as he had on his other foot, so I think he kind of knew right away from experience.
What did you feel was the difference? Because the first job, he took the lead early, you had the lead. And what do you think the difference after that?
I think I thought to come out in the second half, we did have the lead, but it didn't last very long. They made it down the field. They had an explosion play on a scramble by Eli. And then we didn't execute a coverage very well, so they were on the board pretty quick. So, all in all, it's an NFL game, and two teams competing that typically come down to a low score, one score game, and there's usually three or four plays that make the difference.
McPhee was pretty outspoken before the game. Were you okay with that? How did you think you backed it up? McPhee.
I'm sorry. Pernell's a passionate guy. I don't really follow much in the media as far as what's said, what's not said, but whatever it was, I'm sure it was probably aggressive and positive.
Clarifying, Zach, by similar, you mean another break in his foot?
Yes.
And on from Leonard, just to clarify the movement skills, does that mean he could move his extremities okay?
It appeared that way on the field. I'm not a doctor. He's getting tests way more sophisticated than I know about.
So there's John Fox, somewhat reluctantly for some reason, telling us that Leonard Floyd was able to move his extremities. I would think he'd be eager to tell us that. But he did say he had good movement skills. The bottom line is very encouraging for Leonard Floyd, because that could have been worse. And the only thing we don't know is, will he go home with the team? But my experience with this is, if the tests come out negative, he should be able to fly home tonight with the Bears. To me, though, the Zach Miller thing, I mean, this guy's been battling so many injuries throughout his career. He's having a good couple seasons, good, two-season run here with the Bears, and a good game today. He starts with three catches, 61 yards, and a really nice touchdown catch as Jay Cutler and Zach Miller had a good connection going on, and then he has this bad injury, and, the Bears aren't going to have him the rest of the year. Well, you saw his emotion. It was raw. He hobbles off the field. Not even hobbles. He hops off the field on his left foot, gets to the sideline, and slams. I mean, he violently slammed his helmet on the turf. So you knew something was seriously wrong. He went to the locker room immediately. Again, this is a guy who has become a core player. He is the football character that John Fox loves, that he talks about all the time. He's overcome so much in his career. He's a good locker room guy. He's good with the media, too. It's all part of this really horrendous season of injuries the Bears have had. I mean, I don't know if today really embodies it. When Kyle Long is carted off, and I think that's a signature moment, if you want to call it that, of this season when it comes to the injuries. But just an awful, awful run of this injury bug for the Bears.
And John Fox, you heard it. He admitted, if you couldn't hear the question was, where does this rank among, a pile of injuries that he's had in his long coaching career, and he said it's up there, and at this point, it absolutely has to be. And one guy who we know is going to feel for Zach Miller is Jay Cutler. You know, Zach Miller, when he re-signed with the Bears in the offseason, was very open in saying that Jay Cutler was a huge reason why he came back. Those two have a good chemistry, a good relationship. Here's the quarterback after the game addressing that, among other things.
You know, we couldn't run the ball very well. You know, got into some passing situations. And, you know, that's kind of getting into the strength of their defense.
So what was the key early on to kind of establishing that rhythm those first three drives?
I thought we were running the ball. We were getting downhill. You know, we were getting our backside cutoffs, front side we were good, putting ourselves in third manageable situations.
How do you even describe this injury epidemic right now with all the guys?
It's crazy. You know, I saw Sit get rolled up. I knew he was probably done. And then Zach came running off the field and told me he was done. You know, it's hard. You know, obviously injuries are part of the game, and we're a situation where we got to replace them with somebody. But, you know, they're starting to add up pretty quickly.
How tough is it with that, especially without Jeffries to begin with and then without Miller?
Yeah. Well, I mean, those two guys that make a lot of plays for us. And Zach, well, he started off hot. We were getting him matched up against some linebackers, which we felt pretty strong about going into this game. You know, and not to have those two guys, it's difficult. But, you know, we had a chance at the end of the game. The defense did a great job. We were kind of flipping field position back and forth that fourth quarter. And we got a shot. We had a shot there at the end to go down and win it, which is all we can ask for.
Completion you had to Marquise to start that final drive. What was key to bringing him over up the sideline there?
That was a great call by Dow. You know, we knew they played a little bit of palms out there. They brought the nickel, and, you know, one-on-one out there. I thought Q ran a great route. Jesus. You know, we were fortunate there to get a good first play and try to kick it off.
Did you think he had a chance to score there with what you saw when you released it?
Thought so. He didn't.
Is it tough when you just have so many games like this year where you're in the game but you can't seem to get over the hump?
It's hard.
It looked like you slipped on the interception. Yeah. What happened on there?
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like I got clipped or something. Maybe I didn't, but you know, I went to step and my foot just kind of bounced a little bit and got a little bit wide. Well, I got wider than I wanted to, and hips couldn't work then, couldn't get through the throw and came out flat. You know, we were trying to put it over the top to Q, give him a chance there versus cover two defense because, well, it was whatever. Long yard is there to pick up.
At any point in the fourth quarter, you look around in the huddle and see all the inexperienced guys and think, okay, yeah. How do you handle this?
You know, we were there last year. We've been there last year with some of these guys. Obviously, the offensive line has taken some hits, too, and we got some different guys up there. But, you know, all those guys have shown the ability to go out there and play and be successful. We just gotta grow as a group and be consistent for fourth quarters. You look at the first half, and, you know, we're kind of walking the ball up and down the field. In the second half, it's a completely different story. They didn't do that many things differently. They showed us a few things, but nothing that, you know, would elude you to think that we couldn't move the ball the way we did in the first half.
Is that a product of execution or a yeah. Signal that you do or do not have out there in the second half?
I mean, I'm not going to put it on that. I mean, that would be I'd be disservice to the guys. I mean, they're working their butts off and they're fighting tooth and nail. You know, we just got to execute. I thought Dow called a really good game, given the circumstances. And, you know, some of those negative runs we have, we got some run-throughs. We got some stuff in the backside. We just got to clean up.
Did you sense there was something there to cue on if you had been able to plant your back?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was my front foot. I think we had a shot. It wouldn't have been pick. It would have been, you know, a back of the end zone tap situation or out of bounds. I mean, something would happen.
After last week, did it feel good to just have a chance to
To play again?
Well, I mean, to put that behind you.
I mean, it's one game. It, you know, in 11 years, those things are going to pop up. They're going to happen. You know, I think it's a bigger deal just because where we are in the season and the struggles we've had. And this one's going to be a hard one to swallow, too. I mean, you know, these games that you lose and you definitely have a chance at the end to win, those are the ones that kind of keep you up at night.
Jay, what's the biggest strain on a line that has so little continuity, series to series, week to week?
What do you mean?
Just in terms of the strain that puts on those guys to be
up? Oh, yeah, it's tough. I mean, you're shipping guys in and out in the middle of the game. So, and, you know, I think we do a decent job of rotating everybody throughout the week and making sure that, you know, 6 and 7, whoever that guy is ready to play. But you know, the starters mostly get most of the reps at practice, so it's a tough spot to put those guys in. You know, I don't think they're going to make any excuses for anything, and neither will I.
What goes through your mind when Leonard is down for as long as he was down?
Yeah, it's tough. You know, injuries are a part of the game. We all know that. We all live with it. And everyone at Lockham kind of battles through things throughout the year. But, you know, when you see those injuries that are scary, you know, it kind of puts things in perspective a little bit, and you kind of see how important each guy is to each other in the locker room.
Can anybody else? Leonard seems to be very well liked in the locker room.
Would that matter?
Yeah, well.
He is. He's a good kid. He works hard.
So there's Jay Cutler. What I thought a pretty good game today out of the quarterback. 17-30, 252 yards, a touchdown. Did have the interception at the end of the game. And it's worth pointing out, you heard him talking there, that his foot slipped. That's why that ball kind of hung up in the air. Did not have much juice on it. And you could see as soon as it was floating through the air that it was probably going to be picked off, but he did not have good protection in the second half, especially after Sitton went out. It was kind of a mess up front. Jay battled. He took a lot of hits today, and he made some incredible throws, too.
Well, the situation set up perfectly for the Giants pass rushers. You know, the Bears had to score a touchdown. They were low on timeouts, especially in the final 2 minutes. They didn't have any timeouts. You're down Bobby Massey. You're down Kyle Long. You're down Josh Sitton. So, yeah, I mean, you could really just get after Cutler against the Bears' backups. It was a bad situation for Cutler to be in, and then he's throwing to, again, you don't have Alshon Jeffrey out there. You don't have Zach Miller out there. You don't have Kevin White out there. And look, even weren't going to him, mentioning him, and he hasn't played in weeks, but you get my point here. It was not a good situation for Jay Cutler. Kudos for the Bears' defense for at least putting the Bears' offense in that situation, but look, it looked good at some times because Jay Cutler was buying some time with his feet. You know, hit Marquise Wilson for a big gain. He was doing the best he could to make something out of nothing, but the odds were really stacked against him, missing so many pieces offensively, whether it's the line or his targets.
Overall, considering the injuries that the Bears had coming into this game, the amount they suffered in this game, to have the ball there with a chance to potentially win the game, I was actually pretty impressed. I know we're kind of setting a low bar at this point, but that's where the season is now that they're 2-8. But they kind of exceeded my expectations today, as we both thought the Giants would win by double digits. All right, let's talk about our player of the game then. I guess I'm going to go with Eli Manning. Again, I thought Jay Cutler played really well, but the Giants ultimately won this game, and Eli did have a 95 quarterback rating. Two touchdowns, no interceptions in this one. Kind of just did his job in a game where not a whole lot of guys stood out, although I guess you could look at the Giants' pass rush. And Olivier Vernon seemed to be everywhere today in this game, too.
Yeah, I was going to say him. You know, I have to give Eli Apple some credit. He was noticeable, I think, in a lot of plays, especially for his tackling ability. One play stands out to me is where there's a quick screen to Cam Meredith, and Eli Apple, with some good advanced scouting, because he did not delay his pursuit of Meredith at all. He got to him, got him for like a 1 yard gain or something like that. So I thought he was okay. Yeah, it's but this was an ugly game still, right? You know, the Giants weren't overly impressive. It's another close win for them. This is a 5-game winning streak. You know, and they didn't really look like a team that's really red hot. They could have lost this game, even with all the injuries for the Bears. But, yeah, maybe Vernon, maybe Eli Apple, somebody on that Giants defense, because, look, at the end of the day, they made more plays. They kept the Bears offense, as injury-plagued as it was, at bay when they needed to most.
I'll give you one more on the Giants defense. Jason Pierre-Paul with 2.5 sacks today. Also a TFL, 3 quarterback hits, and also knocked down a pass to go along with a forced fumble. So just in terms of stats, he kind of carried the load for the Giants today. All right, biggest concern. I'll go back to the Bears on this one. Kind of a new concern. Haven't seen this whole lot, but Jordan Howard was targeted 8 times in this game and only caught 1 pass. I counted 4 drops, at least by my my standards, balls that I thought hit him in the hands that he should have caught. One was on a play where he was going to get tackled in the backfield anyway, but still it was a drop. There were other ones that were a little bit more blatant and did cost the team.
He had a couple situations today, too, where you wonder if he was hurt. You know, he had maybe some of the stuff, the little black plastic things in his eye early on, ready to get sprayed in the eye. He came off kind of slow after his 27-yard run down the right sideline, or the far sideline for those watching at home. You have to wonder if they're going to want him to lose some weight to increase his speed, but will he lose some of his, you know, yard after contact ability, because that's his most valuable asset. But you're right. I don't want to say injuries, because we say injuries every week. You make a great point on Howard, because he had like three drops in a row, it looked like, at one point. I think there were other plays in between, but he had a bad run of plays for a period of time there where he just stood out for his gaffes. But I'm going to stick with injuries, because, look, they could be healthier next year. You could have a better string of luck, but you still don't want this many key players, whether it's Kyle Long going under the knife soon for his ankle and shoulder injuries, or it's Kevin White having a ton of metal in his left leg, or Zach Miller. I mean, maybe he needs surgery. You have all these guys with high ankle sprains. Danny Trevathan's already had surgery on his thumb. I mean, Jake Cutler missed so much time. It's the season. That is their season. It's their biggest concern. It's going to be every week. I mean, who else can get hurt on this team that's of important value? I mean, I don't want to name any names because it could come true. But the injuries, to me, are everything.
But I did find it weird that Pernell McPhee didn't seem to be out there a whole lot today. And you wonder with that knee, guy who came into this game guaranteeing a sack. The Bears didn't sack Eli Manning today. But it wasn't just so much the not delivering on that promise as much as he wasn't even really out there, to the point where even when Leonard Floyd got hurt, the Bears went to Sam Acho before they did Pernell. And as well as Pernell played the last 2 weeks, that tells me that maybe something early on in this game happened where he was limited.
Yeah, I saw him hobbling a little bit, but he didn't leave the game. Of course, he's not going to want to because he missed so much time. But again, it goes back to the argument of last season. Do you have to make a bold decision here? Let's call it the safe decision here, and shut him down for the rest of the year, because this is a knee injury that he's going to have to be mindful for the rest of his career, and this is a 2-8 team. They're not playing for the playoffs. Yes, you want him to get into some shape, but you don't want to have him to lose that shape, especially that knee. You want that knee to be in the best shape you can for the offseason program, and even then you're going to monitor what he's doing. So, yes, it's all alarming, and it all goes back again. This injury thing is there are so many. I can't even you mentioned there's just too many to really list.
No, it's almost to the point where it's unsafe. Some of the guys they had out there, like I thought Jay was – they were lucky he got this game with Jay standing upright with the amount of pressure he was facing late in this game. And then even in the secondary, it got to the point where it's just like you got Sherrick McManus and DeMontre Hurst out there, two good special teamers, but they're not supposed to be in those situations and they get beat.
Yeah, and then Cutler was rattled a few times. His second snap, who was it, Vernon, who kind of drove him to the ground, yeah. Kind of a debatable penalty, but he gets up kind of, yeah. You know, slowly and not feeling like himself. And then he got sacked by the ankles, I forget by who, maybe it was Jason Pierre-Paul, but he was trying to shake out his right ankle after getting it twisted. And, you know, this is a guy who's dealt with sprained ligaments in his right thumb. It cost him, what, 6 games? So it's all part of it, you know, with this makeshift offensive line that the Bears are going to have. You know, you got Josh Sitton, who's could miss some more time here. Doesn't look good for Jake Cutler, because he's going to be on the move, on the ground, a lot for the rest of the season if he continues to play.
All right, biggest answer. Maybe this is a reach, but this is where we're at in season. Pat O'Donnell had a 67-yard punt in this game. Overall, I think he's made some positive strides this season. He's actually been one of the bright spots, and I guess the reason I'm making this an answer is because he's at least proven he's a guy that you can go forward with and not have to worry about the punter.
Right, and I see you looking for positives, and I think our listeners appreciate that. My biggest answer, yes, Pat O'Donnell is great, Adam. Congratulations. But I'm concerned about the playmaking abilities of the Bears secondary. I mean, Adrian Amos had a surefire interception. He makes that. The Giants are short 3 points. A Robbie Gould field goal doesn't happen. I don't know if it's an answer as much as another concern, but I'm really starting to doubt the playmaking skills in the secondary. And, yes, a lot of that is attributable to injuries. Tracy Porter's dealing with a knee injury. Bryce Callahan has been nursing a hamstring with seemingly like forever. And Deion Bush is a rookie back there, but that Adrian Amos play stands out to me. And really, I mean, there's a lot of balls kind of hanging in the secondary, a lot of overthrows by Eli Manning, where you would think maybe a more experienced secondary, or maybe a more ball-savvy secondary can make some plays on these balls. And let's be honest, this isn't just a criticism coming from a media member. The Bears' defensive coaches, Vic Fangio and secondary coach Ed Donatell, have made this a point of emphasis. We need to get takeaways. We need better ball play. And they're just not getting it right now, whoever it is in the secondary.
Did you see what I wrote the other day?
Which one?
Actually, I know you did because you texted me that I had a typo.
Yeah, Brad Kaba.
Well, yeah, great autocorrect. So, don't you love when autocorrect takes a word that's not even a word and then corrects it to another word that's not a word? It makes no sense. Jabril Peppers, my early favorite for the Bears draft pick. Guy in the secondary who's going to make some plays. That's exactly what this Bears defense needs. All right. By the way, you can read that at WGNRadio.com along with all our post-game stuff. I'll give you one thing we didn't get answered today. Robbie Gould, was it a good move? Was it a bad move? Neither of these kickers, they're missing extra points. Robbie missed two of those. That was an issue in the preseason, part of the reason why they cut him. He's missing some extra points. Connor Barth also missed an extra point. He also missed a 51-yard field goal. Okay, went off the upright. Windy conditions. But Robbie did make a 46-yarder today. I just don't know if we got a real clear answer on whether or not it was a smart move to get rid of him.
Yeah, it was kind of an odd day, though. There was, at this point of recording, as we are right now, what is it, almost 5:30 Eastern time, there's been 11 PATs missed. Maybe there's some more already have happened in the afternoon games. But, look, it was really windy here. What did they say, 17 to maybe 40-mile-per-hour, you know, 20 to 40-mile-per-hour gusts around here? Look, you could see stuff floating around here. I mean, at one point, did you see that beer box fly off? This giant 24-pack thing of Bud Light. Obviously, the Bud Light was not in it, but it came flying off somewhere. I don't know what's above the press box, but here comes this giant cardboard box of it was an empty beer case comes flying down on some fans. You know, tough break for them underneath.
I did hear, listening to the radio broadcast during the game, Tom Thayer at one point analyzing the difference between a penalty flag and a napkin that's flying around the field, because there were plenty of those today, and at some points it looked like they were flags. Right. Like, oh, is that a flag? No, it's just a napkin that's laying around the field. And Tom broke it down for us so that we knew the difference between those two things, because it was confusing today. All right, that's going to wrap it up for us here at MetLife Stadium. Bears now 2-8. What are you going to do? They're banged up. Can they beat the Titans? I don't know.
It's time to watch more college football. It's time to see a little bit more of Jabril Peppers, and you know Ryan Pace is hitting the college circuit right now. Look, the injuries are what they are. This team is it's been ravaged by them. I think there's going to be more bumps and bruises coming because there's still, what, 6 games left? Yeah. Jesus. It's been a tough season. They're 2-8. Yeah, time to watch some college football because it's about the future now.
And there's a guy coming to Soldier Field this weekend that the Bears wanted, Marcus Mariota. And the Bears still don't have their quarterback of the future. So we'll be talking about that this week. And we'll have a preview episode for Week 12, maybe a little earlier this week. Might have to do that on Wednesday with Thanksgiving this week. So we'll get that for you. Just check it out maybe a little bit earlier on this week. As we are already to Week 12 in this season, I'm sure the Bears are looking at it like, can it be Week 17 yet? Because, man, guys just keep going down. 6 games to go. All right, episode 65 of Intentional Grounding here in New Jersey, the Patrick Manley episode. Again, read us at WGNRadio.com/Bears and ChicagoSunTimes.com. Also, we got plenty of tweets from the game up at Adam Hoge and at Adam Johns. Check out the podcast at INT Grounding Pod and subscribe, rate, review, do it all on iTunes. We appreciate you doing that. We'll talk to you later this week.